was going to be confronted with what he's going to be confronted with. And the boss man would say that I can't take you on account of South. I think the first thing I do is try to make the South of no value either to him or to me, that and of no concern, because it's hopeless. Yeah. I believe that's what is happening. We've found that Burke Marshall was talking to him and they're advising with him, but we don't know whether he's comforting them or whether he's advising them other way.
Yeah.
Joe Rao and Martin Luther King and folks that normally are run with that crowd are leading it. Humphrey is trying his best to put an end to it, but he hadn't had much luck with them. Now, if they get up there, I think it's going to be pretty difficult for a fellow like Donald Russell or Harrison. He had lunch with me yesterday. I didn't get to talk to him, but he was here. And you or anybody else from that part of the country with a substantial Negro population, like East Texas or like Louisiana and Arkansas, I think it's going to be pretty hard for them to sit by and let their sister states be thrown out when they were duly elected and are the real proper delegation.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I don't see how a fellow like Dick Hughes and Governor Lawrence and Dick Daley, I don't see how they can possibly go back to their states and say they're seceding the Alabama group and the Mississippi group when they won't say they support the nominees, and that's in the call and that's in the rules and that's the loyalty oath, you know, that they worked on for many years.
Yeah.
So it looks like you just pretty well split the party, well, much worse than Goldwater and Rockefeller even.
Yeah.
And looks like there are forces that would like to do that. I have no doubt that they claim that they got a Texas oil millionaire messing around up in Harlem. I don't know who it is unless old man Hunt got some money. But Hoover's after it now, and they've got all the communists in. So they're both sides are in on these riots, and they're hiring them, and hell, these folks got walkie-talkies, and they got these helmets, and they're all dressed up. You just think it is a party they got. Somebody's financing them, babe. And they go in a different town every night. It's Brooklyn one night, and it's Harlem the next night, and it'll be another section in New York tonight. And they're kind of getting it on all over the world. I was talking to the Prime Minister of Malaysia, and he's just having a hell of a time with his people riding. He's going to have to cancel his trip and go back home, and there's a great deal of frustration and uncertainty.
Yep.
So that's what's going to happen between the conservatives of the South and the others of the East. Being from the South, I think it probably just makes it worse. I don't think you can do any more about it than Keith Alford can do about it. I have handled the Mississippi thing and the Georgia thing in cooperation, both governors, and talking to them before I did anything, and doing no troops and just trying to help them. I couldn't have handled it better, and I haven't made any mistakes, as far as I'm concerned, that weren't made before I came in here, namely the Civil Rights Bill. But
I think that's right.
They can't take it, and when it gets too hot in the kitchen, they just nothing the poor fellow can do about it. Self-preservation's the first law of nature. And now then the question comes. The governor of New Hampshire today says that in order to carry the North, he's got to be on the ticket. And UAW worker in Pittsburgh says he's got 100,000 signatures, Pennsylvania. He went out to Illinois last night, and I got a memorandum here from one of my friends that attended the meeting. I haven't read it, but he just gave it to me over in the business man's meeting at 300 at the reception in Chicago. He spoke and showed films on the library. Those present reception included 50 ward committeemen from Cook County, and thus represented a substantial part of the Illinois delegation at the convention. One of those present reports that it was largely a political crowd and the meeting had political overtone. We are seeking to determine the extent to which the crowd included civic leaders of the type that one would expect to be invited to the library. He was scheduled to be at a meeting in Southside Democratic headquarters at 8 o'clock. A crowd of 2,000 had been turned out by the organization, but he did not show up. An extremely reliable and perceptive observer reports, quote, "The consensus among the Cook County organization is that Daley favors the Attorney General for the Vice President, but might not press the matter openly against the President's wishes. Their personal relationship is such that one should assume that anything Daley knows, Kennedy knows." Yeah. Within the last 2 weeks, Shriver indicated to Marshal Korshak, a key ward committeeman, and to Danny Roskinkowski, the leading congressman, that he is himself under consideration and is optimistic about his chances. Now, I have about come to the conclusion that it is just as positive as we're sitting here, that he is going to force a roll call on his name for this place or the other place. I think probably the vice presidency at the moment. He will have some people in every delegation that have been friendly or some way or other, and he'll be in touch with them. And they're going to have an emotional thing with this film and Ms. Kennedy and all of them. Then he's going to really make the pitch. Now, most of my advisors here think I ought to call him in now, a month ahead of time, so I can get word to all the leaders and tell them how I feel. And if they don't want me, why, it's all right. They can just take him, because he will have the nomination if I don't have it. Mm-hmm. And so I had about concluded that I would give Daley until tomorrow. He told me, he called me a couple of Thursday, Friday. I'd give him maybe until Friday, and if it didn't, then I'd ask this fellow to come in Saturday. I expect he'd be out of town, so I won't get to see him on Monday. But say to him that I've given a lot of thought to this, and in view of the polls and the problems in the Midwest and the problems in the border states, not the South particularly, because he knows that, and I don't want him to use that as an issue on me, that I'm just signing up Mississippi against him.
Yep.
But in view of the border states, in view of the Midwest, it just seems to me like that I ought to tell him that I'm not going to recommend to the delegation that they take him. He'll want to argue about it, and they say he's very much against Humphrey. He told Clark Clifford that he would consider that a great insult to his brother's memory. Humphrey ran against him and all that kind of stuff. So I would tell him that, and my guess is some of them think that he might decide not to do anything about it, but most of them think that he is determined that he wants this job, and he'll do anything in the world he can to get it, and if by causing the fight, he thinks that he can probably make me throw the election, and he'd like to see me a defeated man like Stevenson. That's one reason he's not unhappy about what's happening in the South. Now, I'm not in a position, I don't have anybody that can go in and get Lawrence and get Daley and get Wagner and all the committees owned by them. I have Jack Valenti, nobody knows, and Bill Moyer and Walter. That's my team here. The rest of them are their people. And Ken hadn't been in today at all. I don't know where the hell he is or what he's doing. He didn't discuss any of these things. I give him an assignment, but he just didn't do any more about it, didn't come back. And when this fellow looks at me, he looks at me like he's going to look a hole through me, like I'm a spy or something. Bobby, he was at lunch today. I had a cabinet lunch with 300 businessmen, all the presidents of the big companies. And I had a wonderful meeting. Most of them said they're going to support me, the Republicans.
Yeah, I think they will.
Had a wonderful meeting, and they just applauded the living hell out of us. But he didn't even come in after lunch to hear my report or my speech. Every other cabinet man was there. So that's about the way it is. Now, my present intention, although I don't see, I think if we just go down and start fighting, maybe the prestige of the office will carry us through. But I think it'll be like Daley says. Daley says, please don't do it. Wait till you get up there. Let some committee, executive committee, come in and tell him. And don't you take the blame of knocking him off, because you can't take the South on and the Kennedys on and the North on, too, and get them all mad at you. And let us do it up there. Clark Clifford and others say here that if I do that, it'll be too late, that they'll be in charge up there, that they're running every day. And that I got to tell him now, and if I can't stop him from the cabinet, he'll probably resign, and then we'll just have to see which one can win. I have the office, but I don't have much to fight with. I've got 20 minutes here with you now, but I've got to go to the reception of the Prime Minister, tell him goodbye. He's leaving. I got to go to Valley Forge tonight at 7:30, speak there. And I didn't sleep 2 hours last night, and I had New Zealand on Monday, and I had all the foreign ministers in Latin America on Tuesday, and I had Malaysia on Wednesday and Thursday. And that goes on every day in this job. We had to send a wire today to Brazil to keep it from turning upside down. We got a problem with Cyprus tomorrow. And I really don't have a moment to even try to pick the keynoter. I think we're going to pick Pastore. I got McCormick and Albert in there, but we lost the poverty bill by one vote. Then we won it by one vote. Then we had a tie vote. And Umphrey and Mansfield, Mansfield's not much leader, not very interested in it. And he's going to put me on spot next week. He's going to pass a beef import amendment that just ruins my whole trade program. We've got greater exports in farm goods now than we've ever had. They're up 30% this year, and a good deal of it's meat that we're exporting right now. We exported $4 million this month. But he's going to say not import over the five-year average, and we've got it down under the five-year average, but I have to veto it, and then they pass it over my veto, and then that makes every state, Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, 15 meat states, makes them all mad and gets him nowhere right where he is. But that's the problem I've got. I can't, Albert's against it, but Albert said if Mansfield passes it, he'll have to pass it. Because he's from a meat district, too. Yeah. They're like Montana, Oklahoma. So those are your problems, and I don't know. Might be this is a easy way, maybe to get out would save your face, but just getting beat.
Oh, you ain't gonna do that.
I don't think so, but no. it's a real difficult one because I don't know what you can do at this convention. And Goldwater's coming in tomorrow. He wants to see me on this problem. And I agreed to see him, and nothing good can come out of that. He wants to use this forum. He wants to encourage the backlash. That's where his future is. It's not in peace and harmony.
That's right.
And so I guess I'll just have to listen to him. I really don't know what I can say to him.
Well, all you can say to him is that you don't want to make an issue of it, that you think the matter ought to be settled.
Well, I know
it, but we ought to be quieted down. That's all you can say.
I can't say that I won't be for the law, and he's got to be against it because he voted against it, and I voted for it. I'm going to do nothing to incite anybody, inflame anybody. I sent FBI right into Harlem just like I did in Mississippi, but I did so after talking to the governors and the mayors, both.
Incidentally, Ferris was very appreciative of his communications and the treatment he got and the cooperation that he had with you in St. Augustine, and said so.
Well, we've tried to put ourselves in the governor's place in every instance. They don't make these situations. They're not responsible. We're not. But I can't tell Martin Luther King what to do any more than you can, and you can't tell Hunt what he's doing.
That's right.
So it's just that black and white, and there are no grays here.
Well, of course, again, I think your great appeal is, and your great strength in this country now, is that you're doing what you think is right. And, of course, I feel very strongly about it, as you know, and I think you have to take Bobby on in a goddamn fight. Let's take him on. And that's one thing, if you get me out of this goddamn capital and come up and help you, I'll tell you that. If it comes to that, why, I don't know what I can do, but I can carry wood or water. But if he wants to book a fight, well, let's have one. But I think you can whip him in a standstill. It won't even be close. I don't think he'll make the fight. And I damn sure agree that you ought not to give him running room between now and August. I agree with Clark Clifford and him. I just think you ought to just tell him now. If he wants to do something about it, well, sure, he's got 30 days. But damn, you've got 30 days, too. And I just go and tell him I'd get it over with, because I'd have a lot rather fight with him, as I told you. I'd rather fight with him between now and August than I would the next 4 years. And I don't think it's any question but what he'll try to, he would be delighted to see you defeated. There's no question about that in my mind. He's an arrogant, he's an egotistical, selfish person that feels like he's almost anointed, and he is so power mad that it's unbelievable. And that's the very reason, you know, you can't take him on this ticket, because most people know it. Now, I've talked to, this morning, I talked to people like Tex Thornton, who was at your luncheon today. I don't guess he saw you today. California. But, of course, he's a strong McNamara man, which is beside the point, but he said, hell, fire, he takes McNamara, who's now a Democrat, even though he's been a Republican. He says, I'll personally, he told me this morning at 8 o'clock,